today is a special day, especially the men are contributing the food and make you as happy as possible. We try to make it. Today we are going to touch on the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the story is the feeding of the 5,000. But I would like to focus more on the character of the Lord Jesus Christ in this regard. The feeding of the 5,000 is considered to be the greatest miracle performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that this miracle is the only one recorded in all the four Gospels, that means Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, suggests it's important. Only two other events are recorded in the four Gospels, and they are the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. So you know the importance of this miracle. In the feeding of the 5,000, we see our Lord's creative power on display. He can make much out of the little, or if he so desire, he can make something out of nothing. You see, that's the kind of God that we worship, the kind of God that loves us. As a creator, the Lord Jesus Christ is the provider. And all true believers can be assured that whatever our need, the Lord Jesus is able to meet our every need. We must know that He's able. So this is the first thing we learn about Jesus Christ. Concerning the location of the miracle, and it's stated in John chapter 6 verse 1. John chapter 6 verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. The place was the area of Bethsaida, near the northeast corner of the Red Sea, more near to the Mediterranean side, okay? So that is the location. The area was deserted, though not a desert, for it was covered with grass. Quite a very nice place. Very few people go there. The Lord Jesus and his disciples had retreated there, hoping to find some rest from the pressure of the ministry. They worked very hard, and so they need a rest. So they found that area. John chapter 6 verse 2 says, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Undoubtedly, many in the crowd were ill and wanted to be healed. And they have seen many of them were healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Others were the usual curiosity seekers. They want to see what is going on. And so many of them who were not sick also tagged along to see things that will be happen at that place. The time for this miracle was before the Passover, in the early spring, a year before his crucifixion. And the occasion, why did the Lord Jesus Christ perform these miracles? The reason was to meet the needs of the people. and also to provide a test to his disciple. So there are twofold needs in this regard. This miracle reveals something about the Lord Jesus Christ, especially his faithfulness. His faithfulness. First of all, let us see the faithfulness of Jesus in his teaching. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ was weary and needed rest, as I mentioned just now. The retreat he barely needed did not materialize. Why? There are several reasons for this. First of all, emotionally, he was drained because of the murder of John the Baptist. Both Matthew and Mark suggest that this event was a reason why he sought solitude in the deserted place. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 6 to 13, and Mark chapter 6, verse 22 to 41, give us the reason why he went to that place. Physically, he was weary because of the schedule of his ministry. In verse 2, we have read just now, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracle which he did on them that were diseased. Now, in this verse, it was written in imperfect tense in the Greek, implying that the multitude kept following him because he kept performing the miracles. So they keep tacking on him wherever he goes, they will follow. You see, that was the scenario. The disciple too had been involved in this strenuous tour of ministry and needed a time of rest. So the master need rest, the disciple also need rest. So the people keep coming in, and the Lord Jesus Christ were very busy in this regard. And in Mark chapter 3, chapter 6, verse 31 says, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Not only to rest, to eat. In other words, they were so busy in meeting the needs of the people and had no time to eat. That is the case here. Spiritually, as the opposition to the Christ to Christ's ministry mounted, he felt the opposition against him was increasing, and it would climax a year later at Calvary. So although he was meeting the needs of the people, the Jewish leader was trying to oppress him, try to oppose him, going against him. So he has all these problems surrounded him. The Lord Jesus was willing to minister to the people. He was so busy, so tired, and he was willing. That's from his heart. He was willing to minister to the people. When the people saw the Lord Jesus and the disciple getting in the boat to cross the lake, they spread the news. And a group of thousands of people went overland to meet the Lord Jesus when he landed on the shore. So wherever he goes, they will follow, no matter what. That is mentioned in Mark chapter 6, verse 33. So when the Lord Jesus Christ saw the multitude, what did he do? You need rest. He never asked them to go home. He welcomed them. He welcomed them, not thinking of himself or his own needs, but rather to minister to them in spite of his weariness. That is the kind of attitude the the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with each one of us here. He saw their hunger for the truth and wanted to learn. He touched them and also healed the sick. He has a heart that is always willing to help the people to meet their needs. So my friend, you must know that you are worshiping a God that is loving, that is kind, that is caring. And so that is what the Lord Jesus Christ was dealing with the people. Thirdly, he was working and also teaching the people. Teaching was the most prominent characteristics of the early ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saturated the multitude with his teaching. And on this occasion, he also trained the 12 disciples. We all know that teaching is one of the thrusts of the Great Commission and is one of the three most important spiritual gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. So we see that a good shepherd not only teaches, he also takes care of the sheep. The Lord Jesus healed the sick and he fed them. His ministry was not limited to a pulpit ministry, not just preaching and teaching, but was also a person-to-person ministry. And that's very important. It speaks of a good pastor. A good pastor is a pastor who has a heart for the people, who is concerned for the people. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, setting an example for all those who want to serve the Lord, especially to be a pastor. And here we see, that's what he was doing. He was the perfect example to a pastor teacher. Secondly, we see Jesus was faithful in his teaching. Teaching is good, but not enough. He needs to train the disciple so that when he leaves this world, someone will take over. To be a pastor, so the same thing, not just teach, must train. Train up more people to take the job. None of us are indispensable. And so we must train someone that will be able to carry on the work. And the Lord Jesus Christ did that. And so the crowd were there, sitting there for a long time, listened to his message, to his instruction. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew they were hungry. He knew. And therefore, he asked Philip a question in verse 5. John 6, verse 5. I read to you in ESB. Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Where to buy bread? In the deserted place. Where to buy bread? And even if there's some place to buy, I don't think they have enough bread to feed the great multitude of people. You see? So the Lord Jesus Christ purposely asked this question to Philip. Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Now, this is not to be interpreted as a surprise on the part of our Lord Jesus Christ as seeing so many people coming to him. The multitude had been there with him for quite a long time already. And Christ had been preaching and teaching before them. He knew that they were hungry and without food. And so the Lord was primarily concerned for their souls. But he was also had a heart concern for their physical welfare. Not just spiritual, but also physical welfare. And so he turned to Philip and asked him, where are we to buy bread so that these people may, may eat. You see how thoughtful and practical our Lord Jesus is. We as Christians should follow the Lord Jesus Christ's example in dealing with people, especially dealing with the needs of the people. Some Christians just care only for the soul. Some. But our task is more than winning soul. Winning soul is very important, yes, but it's more than winning soul and teaching the word of God. These are all important, very important. I don't say not important. But we are also to be comforters. We are also to be helpers, like the Lord Jesus Christ, caring for those who are sick, those who are in need. If someone is sick and in need, my friend, it is not enough to assure a person or assure them that we will pray for them. It's good, sounds good, but it's not enough. We are to visit them, care for them, and do whatever we can to help them. That should be the ministry of every believer. When I'm in Singapore, this is one of my main ministry, caring for the people. We stress a lot on teaching the word of God. At the same time, we reach out to help the poor. And the motto of our church is not to be minister, but to minister unto. To help the people. And there will, the people can see, they can see the testimony of the God's love. You see, that's very important. It's not dollars and cents. It's the kind of love that people want to see, want to experience from you. And so, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ teaching the disciples. Now, there's one question. Why did the Lord ask Philip, where can we buy bread so that these people may eat? Why not Peter? Why not James? Or any other disciple? We are told that the question was asked to prove him, to test Philip. All right? He's testing him to prove him. For he himself, John chapter 6 verse 8, for he himself knew that what he would do. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ did not ask expecting help from Philip because he already knew what he would do. He was going to perform a miracle. He was going to provide food for those who are in need. The Lord knew, but he said this to test Philip. And what did Philip reply? All right, verse 7. Philip says, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. All right. That every one of them may take a little. Money is cannot handle, cannot deal with the problem. All right. In other words, Philip was actually saying the task is absolutely impossible, even if we have money to buy bread. By this time, Philip should have known better because he had been following the Lord Jesus Christ for quite some time in his ministry. He had witnessed the changing of water into wine. You remember in John chapter 2? Philip also had seen, knew about the nobleman's son was healed in John chapter 4, verse 46 to 54. I'm taking all from the book of John, okay? He knew all these things. He had seen the miracle performed on the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. So Philip has witnessed many times concerning the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, he should have cried out. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Andrew has something to say to Jesus. He says, there is a lad here who have 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? We must give Andrew credit for looking around in an attempt to help. Walking through the crowds, he found a little boy's lunch had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these among so many people? Enough for one, not for such a great multitude. Now we know that in this case, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful in his caring. Although it's impossible to feed the people, but the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ in caring for the people. As a good shepherd cares for the need of his sheep, given every opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. This is what the Bible says. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Feeding is a ministry too. And our Lord Jesus saw to it that the multitude did not go away hungry. I need to drink. All right, then what did he do? Well, we must first of all know the barley bread was the food for the poor people. All right. The 2 fish the lad had were little tidbits to make the bread taste better, tastier, that's all. It's a very simple food. Though this poor man's lunch was all that they have found in the large crowd, it was enough in the master's hand. And so the Lord Jesus Christ made the man to sit. This was the first step that the Lord Jesus did. They were all standing, looking around, and the Lord made them to sit. If they are already sitting, no need to sit anymore, right? They already sit there. So they were all standing, and Lord Jesus made them to sit. So here we see our God is a God, is not a God of confusion, but a God of order. Whatever he does, he wants it to be done orderly. Secondly, the word man, he asked a man to sit. The word man here use men as distinguished by contrast from women. Man is man, not woman, okay? The contrast is there. So there were many women and perhaps children in the audience, but was not numbered in the number, 5,000. So the multitude was more than 5,000 in this regard. After giving thanks, the Lord gave the food to the disciple, who in turn gave it to the people. They went out and returned again and again, and the supply was inexhaustible. The Lord kept multiplying the food to satisfy the physical needs of the people. When they were all filled, the Lord Jesus said to the disciple, gather up the fragments that remains, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of food. No one went hungry. In fact, there was more than what they needed. The Lord did not give just enough. They give more. Eat until you drop, like those buffet, you know, you go there, eat whatever you can. And here, even they eat as much as they can, they would, there still remain 12 baskets full. Now, what is the lessons today? I'd like to give a comment for Warren Wiersbe here. He says that for the most part, the people were amazed at the miracle, appreciated the help he gave them, but failed to get the spiritual message. You know what? These people gathered there just for own physical benefit. That's what they want the Lord Jesus Christ to supply. They wanted a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ, but not the giver. They wanted enjoyment of the physical blessings and not the enrichment of the spiritual blessings. They want all the material blessings, but not the spiritual blessing. The question here, before I end, how about you? You come to church, you believe in Jesus Christ, you worship Him. What is your motive? Why do you come here? Well, I know some people come here because they hope the Lord will bless them, a lot of things, materially, whatever it is. The motive is wrong. If you are there, you are like the 5,000. Many of them are like doing that. So the question of my message today, does this speak of you? Dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ not only supplies our physical needs, although that's important for a while, but most importantly, our spiritual needs. The needs that no one can offer, only the Lord Jesus Christ can give. And that's the only need that we need in our lives. Material things are good, but how long can you hold on to it? I do not know how many years can I hold on to all the possession that I have. I think less than 10 years, or 5 years maybe. We don't know. When I was in Thailand, after my teaching, they asked me, Ravi Chan, come again next year. I say, I do not know whether I can live next year or not. I live year by year, or perhaps day by day. You see, I do not know. Anything can happen. So, my friend, we do not know. Our life is not measured by how strong you are, nor how healthy you are. Although that plays a part. But there are many things happen. Accidents do happen in any place. So, the most important thing is your spiritual lives. How do you prepare yourself for the future? The Lord give us the best. I hope we get the best. The Lord that we worship is worth everything. If we have Him, we have everything. May this be your blessing. That's why I choose my closing hymn. Jesus is all the world to me. I love this hymn because I sing all the time whenever I'm in need. Whatever problem I have, this hymn keeps ringing in my ears and strengthening me, helping me. So, dearly beloved, I want to share this with you. I hope you enjoy this spiritual food, this blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all to you. Evan?